You are listening to Investing Matters, brought to you in association with London South East. This is the show that provides informative, educational, and entertaining content from the world of investing. We do not give advice, so please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to this very special panel session at the Master Investor Show. Today I'm hosting a panel with four stellar guests. They are Gervais Williams, Charlie Huggins, George O'Connor, and Stephen Yeu. And my panel guest will be answering the question is just how undervalued is the stock market? It'll be both in a Q&A session, so please join us for this panel session and listen to this recording. George, thank you ever so much for coming on to my Investing Matters panel today. What are you going to be sharing with our audience regarding UK markets potentially being undervalued?
Well, firstly, thank you very much for the invite. It's absolutely buzzing in here, and I'm delighted to be speaking at it. And in terms of the underlying story, it's all about how cheap and investable right now is the UK market.
Thank you ever so much, George. Now, I want to ask you about the UK market specifically. We seem to be having lots and lots of takeovers. Is that going to potentially be a catalyst, do you think, for the UK market?
Absolutely. So one good indication that the UK market is cheap is that we've got a lot of skanky buyers coming in right now, both private equity and from the trade as well. Not a day start. I'm in the morning, I'm looking at London South East, and what did I say? Another takeover is announced. It's telling us the market is cheap.
Brilliant. George, I'm really looking forward to your panel session. Thank you for joining us. You're an absolute star.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, today I've got Charlie Huggins from the Wealth Club. I'm going to be one of the panel guests on the Investing Matters special panel talking about UK undervalued stocks. Charlie, what are you going to be talking about today with us?
I'm going to talk through the UK market, the main sectors within the UK market, because if you are investing in the UK market, you need to know what you're actually buying and what is the UK market made up of. So I'm going to run through the major sectors. I'm going to give my views on those sectors, and then I'm going to mention some stock specifics and get into a few companies that I like and some of which that I own in my own quality shares portfolio.
Thank you ever so much. Are you going to be sticking to the UK-ish, or are you going to be looking elsewhere as well?
It's all focused on the UK.
Yeah.
But you know, there are some very good businesses in the UK that don't necessarily generate much of their sales from the UK. Yeah, just have some good business.
Thank you very much. Look forward to hearing your session later on.
Thank you.
A very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today I have Gervais Williams doing a presentation for the Investing Matters panel. We're going to talk about undervalued UK shares, stocks, etc. Gervais, what's the topic of your conversation going to be about today?
Well, I think actually it's too easy to assume that the tailwinds of markets are just going to carry on. They may carry on for a while yet. But actually, there are long periods where markets don't go up. Specifically, they often flatline, and sometimes they actually fall. I think people just have no idea of just how long those periods can be. But you know, if you go to the S&P index, the S&P 500, everyone's terribly excited about that. Blue tech stocks and growth stocks, UK, US economy done really well. But unfortunately, between 1900 and 1950, the US stock market, the S&P 500, didn't go up in real terms for 50 years. So from that point of view, it's not just good. The tailwinds are there at the moment, but there are long periods when there are no tailwinds, and we've got to find opportunities. And that's when people have to move away from bigness into smallness. And specifically what I'm going to cover is, I think actually the UK has more small caps than most other global markets. I think the smaller the better because of the small cap effect. I think the UK is disgustingly cheap. I think we're in a superb position to make some really attractive returns in the coming years.
Brilliant. Looking very much forward to that, Gervais. Thank you ever so much for sharing your information with us today. Thank you.
Pleasure.
So, hi, Stephen. You're going to be on the panel session with me today for the Investing Matters panel. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking about under the topic of the UK stock market being potentially undervalued?
So I want to probably expand a lot more about how the world might have changed. And that was the time when I started my career. That UK equities was very attractive, but the world might have moved on. And secondly, I want to expand on why investing in businesses, high quality businesses, that could make money for investors and doesn't really matter where those companies are listed, whether it's UK or the US or some other country.
Brilliant. Really looking forward to your session. And it's going to be fantastic. I know you always deliver it as well, Stephen. So thank you ever so much for that. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to this talk. I've got Peter Higgins here from London South East. We've got a great panel discussion on how undervalued is the UK stock market currently.
Thank you very much. Check mic. Can you hear me all, everybody? Thank you very much. Okay, as we just said, my name is Peter Higgins. I'm the host of the Investing Matters podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how undervalued the UK stock market is. And I've got a stellar panel for you. I've got George O'Connor coming up first, research analyst at Progressive Research, followed by Charlie Huggins, head of equities at Wealth Club, followed by Gervase William, head of equities at Premier Miton Investors. And then we've got Stephen Yu, lead manager of Blue Whale Growth Fund. We're very short on time, so I'm just going to get straight into it and introduce my first guest. Can I have a round of applause for George O'Connor, please?
Hey there, Peter. Many thanks for the opportunity, and good afternoon, everyone. Can I have a small indulgence before we do anything? I recently joined Progressive, and our founder, Gareth, is here. Now, I say that, and I've taken my glasses off, so he's here somewhere. If anyone's got a business card, give them all to Gareth on the way out. In terms of the bad news, Peter, I don't even believe in your core proposition. Is the UK, and I speak from a tech side, is the UK market cheap? Who cares? Tech is a story of fundamentals and sentiment. You've got to get both of those right in terms of coming up with an interesting investment case on a tech stock. Who wants to wake up every morning next to a zombie stock? Who wants to spend their time in a value trap? And that has been the story in terms of the UK market for a while. When did sentiment change? Probably back end of 2021, if you can remember what happened then, was the interest rate environment changed. As the cost of capital went up for the sector, the returns started to fall away pretty quickly. So one of my poorest years was 2022. TSR was minus 22%. Since then, the macro has been not the big story, but pretty much the only story in terms of the tech sector. And in terms of where we are today, higher for longer translates to lower for longer from a valuation perspective. Currently, in terms of my patch, stocks are trading on a PE of around 19. If I look over the long term, so let's just forget about dot-com for a minute, so look for a long term, so start the clock at 2002. Sort of average PE has been somewhere between 17 and 19. On a high part of the cycle, it can go straight up to 27. So yeah, it's cheap, but if there's no momentum in there, does it really count? So what we need is really for sort of for the macro environment to start changing. And then we've got a great trigger event. Sell-side people, investment bankers, tech guys have been saying for a long time, sector's cheap, when in fact it's been really expensive. This is sort of the first time we can say convincingly, tech looks really cheap. In addition to that, we're at the start of a new tech cycle. Tech cycle driven by Gen AI. Just for a slight moment, let's think about what Gen AI is. On one side, it's a big store of memory. On the second side, it's something that deals with plausibility, not facts. On the third side, it deals with hallucinations. I mean, I've scored 3 out of 3 in terms of what I bring to that party. If we look and think about use cases, I think sort of the sort of the most current is Klarna. I don't know if you know or use Klarna. Sort of buy now, pay later, maybe pay forever. But they've been in the press talking about saving $40 million on their bottom line. And that was on the back of a chat GPT implementation. They've managed to take out 700 of their call center staff. I've been working in investment banking for 20 years. Most of that, my life was really in a call center. Gen AI gives us a white collar revolution. In addition to a great valuation story, in addition to a great story around the start of a new tech cycle, we also have the notion that possibly the interest rate environment starts to come down. If it does come down, we've got a great trigger. I'm in the waiting room, just like the rest of you. Tech sector sentiment has started to budge. If we look at it from a sort of a TSR perspective, in terms of year to date for me, we're at plus 3.5. Now you can say that's nothing, but it's, you know, the compare is minus 22% in 2022 and minus 9.7% in 2023. So it's moving in the right area. In terms of stocks, because that's what I do stock picking, I still think we're in for a little bit of a fragile time this year. Macro isn't great. Now, in fairness, for reporting season, it's been okay. There's always a couple of howlers, so we've had a few howlers. But generally, I'd want to be more on this sort of on the risk off rather than risk on until we get that trigger. If you're looking at sort of larger companies, stuff like Computer Center, we've had in the semis industry the great unwind. And that's really around supply chains and how that's impacted someone like Computer Center from a reselling side. It means they've been able to work down their inventory. And from that, there's bags of cash there. So that bags of cash should turn into a special dividend. If you're looking sort of for lower down in terms of market caps, some of the themes we really like, the sort of the secular drive on cloud, something called Beeks Financial, if you're looking there, great story in terms of future earnings upgrades. A company called Oxford Metrics is another one, not in IIS, but really well positioned. In terms of the sort of what we did post-COVID, we all went traveling. So in there, sort of in terms of travel tech, something like a Hostel World looks really well positioned and cheap as well. In terms of other areas, the IT services side have been absolutely battered from a valuation perspective. They are cheap, but they don't have any momentum this year because the sort of the players in that, stuff like Kainos or Made Tech or TPX Impact, tied into sort of UK budget. This is a sort of UK public sector budget. This is a sort of an election year, so have a bit of a pullback in terms of spend. Clearly, you're spending up to the 31st of March in terms of the public sector market, but sentiment will remain poor. But elections do tend to play out. There is a winner. Spend starts again next year, so I would look at them for next year. In terms of avoids, sort of Dark Trace and Sage from the top end in terms of the wild card. Capita, new CEO in there, Adolfo, has come out of Amazon. If anyone gets and understands Gen AI, he does. There's a sort of a CMD event in June. That should be wall-to-wall about Gen AI. I've left the room. I thought I was doing so well, but I've done.
Fantastic. Ladies and gents, can you give me one question, please, for George regarding his presentation? And we'll do that for each presentation going forward. Anybody got bold enough to give George one question? You've answered all the questions, George.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gents, George O'Connor. My next guest is Charlie Huggins from the Wealth Club. Charlie, go for it.
Thanks, Peter. So my little talk is about whether to invest in the UK. Should you invest in the UK? I think in order to answer that question, you need to understand what the subcomponents of the UK market are. It's no good saying broad brush terms, should you invest in the UK? So I plan to just spend a little bit of time just going through some of the major sectors in the UK, give you my views for whatever they're worth. So the financials is about 25% of the FTSE All Share Index, of which banks are a major part of that. Personally, I don't like banks. I don't think banks are a good place to invest. Very competitive sector, very cyclical, very financially leveraged. Dividend yields high, yes, but at the mercy of regulators. Regulation is a constant and growing threat for the banks. So big part of the UK market, banks, personally, in my portfolio, which is a global portfolio, I do not own any banks. Basic materials and energy, which is about 25% of the FTSE All Share Index lumped together. Better than banks, but still a lot of risk in those sectors. Very cyclical, very capital intensive. constantly having to spend to replenish and grow production. Returns on that spending uncertain because no one knows what's going to happen to commodity prices. So won't surprise you to know I don't own any basic materials or energy in my portfolio. Consumer staples is another big part of the UK index. And historically, that has been quite a reliable place to invest. But challenges here too, risks growing for that sector, arguably. Tobacco, Imperial Brands and Bats being the main ones in the UK, facing huge challenges navigating this transition from combustibles to next generation products. Very uncertain how that's going to play out. Layer on a fraught financial, fraught regulatory landscape on top and a lot of financial leverage. Not one for the faint-hearted. Even Unilever and Reckitt face growing risks and are finding life harder today than they were, say, 5 or 10 years ago, in my opinion. The internet opened the playing field for smaller, more agile peers. Private label competition in a cost of living crisis has arguably never been more intense, and consumers are increasingly fickle. Very little consumer loyalty now towards big brands, even people going away from, say, Heinz beans. So consumer staples giants having to run harder just to stand still. And then final sector I'll touch on, healthcare, dominated in the UK by GlaxoSmithKline and AstraZeneca. The success of these will always live or die by the drug pipelines. And that's very difficult to predict. I did a biochemistry degree and I can't do it. So success can also be a double-edged sword for that sector. So you get a blockbuster drug, but then it comes off patent and then new competition enters, generic competition enters, and then sales for the key drugs start to decline. This happened with AstraZeneca. So the UK as a whole, in my view, is an uninspiring place to invest. You look at the long-term prospects for most of the major sectors, and they are questionable. The UK market does not have anything close to a Nvidia, Microsoft, Apple. However, I'm not total bear on the UK, you might be surprised to learn. There are gems to be found in the UK market.
Hooray!
40% of my quality shares portfolio, which is a 15-stock global portfolio, 40% of the names are UK-listed, including one or two that I'm about to mention. So one of the best-run retailers in the world, Amazon, maybe, Next PLC, run by Simon Wolfson for the last 2.5 decades. Exceptional CEO, exceptional business. In contract catering, I'm not aware of anyone better than Compass Group. Contract catering is a sector where scale really matters, and Compass is the market leader, by far the global market leader in contract catering. And it has a very, very strong market position, and that's a UK-listed business. The UK is not known for its technology businesses, but there are some exceptional technology businesses here in the UK, including Data Titans, RELX, and Experian. These two businesses are unparalleled globally. They are market leaders within their sectors. Not aware of any businesses that are better than those two in what they do. And they have exceptional long-term prospects, in my view. And let's not forget, the UK is also home to some phenomenal industrial businesses. Halmer, Spirax Sarco, the steam specialist, has a fantastic bioprocessing business as well, biotechnology business. Specialist distributor Diploma. You won't find many industrial businesses globally with a better long-term track record than those. So overall summary, UK, if you're looking for a broad brush way to invest, I personally would not invest in the UK. I would invest in a US or World Tracker or buy Stephen Hughes Fund. Or mine. But if you're going to be very selective, if you're going to cast your net far and wide, then the UK does have some exceptional businesses.
Ladies and gents, thank you very much for Charlie Higgins. Whilst Charlie takes a seat, have you got a question for Charlie? Anybody?
Yeah, if no one has, I have.
Go for it. Make it a good one.
Yeah, you mentioned that 40% of your stock is, I mean, globally, you are 40% is in the UK market.
Yes.
And in the end, you said, if I were you, I wouldn't invest in the UK market.
Yes, what?
So what made that paradigm shift?
So what I, yes, good question. So what I mean by I would not invest in the UK, I would not invest in a UK tracker. Because if you invest in a UK passive FTSE All Share tracker, you get the sectors that I just mentioned, the oils and the banks and the commodities. If you're an active manager like me, I couldn't care less where a company is listed, and I couldn't really care less where the sales come from. I'm just looking for the best businesses I can find. And I find some very, very good ones in the UK because I've been following the UK market for probably 15, 20 years. So there are some great businesses there. You've got to go looking for them.
Thank you for the question. Thank you for the answer there, Charlie. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Gervase Williams, Head of Equities, Premier Mindset Investors. Can I have a round of applause for...
Thank you very much.
Gervase Williams.
Thanks for coming along today. Well, you've heard from George and Charlie, really, but sort of similar. The UK is full of relatively dull companies which don't grow properly. And I could have said that 5 and 10 years ago. And obviously it may carry on. As it happens, though, you've got to be careful with stock markets. They don't just do the same thing year in, year out. They have long periods, actually, when stock markets actually outperform. If you take the last 10 or 20 years, nearly all global markets have outperformed inflation, something rotten. But there's lots of other periods when markets flatline, sometimes 5, 10 years. If you take it in real terms, discounting for inflation, between 1900 and 1950, the US stock market, S&P, full of these tech stocks we've just heard about, didn't go up for 50 years. Right? You've got to be very careful about assuming that the tailwind will always be there. I don't think it will be. I think we've, globalization, tailwind, accept that. Beyond globalization, absolutely no. You've got to be very careful about the tailwind. I don't think the tailwind's going to be there. So I think we're going to go into a period of change. Specifically, I think, the compromises of globalization have become politics. And politics really means that we're all reshoring. That's bringing in inflation. We've got some nationalistic agendas. We don't really care about our neighbours. We care about ourselves first. You get geopolitical events. And, of course, you get lots of immigration control, more inflation. And we saw what happened in 22 to George's portfolio. Is it went down, right? So my assumption is actually that we are going to be in a period of, beyond globalisation from here. And if we go beyond globalisation, then in my view, yes, you can get some tech stocks and some may outperform, but specifically, the companies which actually have more advantage than most people think are companies which actually are capital intensive. What do I mean by that? Not just mining companies, but financials, some manufacturing, some defence companies. Certain mining companies as well, accept that. But the great advantage is the more interest rates go up and the more they stay up, actually, the harder it is actually to put capital into these businesses, the more advantage you have as a capital business. So if you go back to the 60s and 70s, and let's remember the UK economy was pretty rubbish in that period. We had 3-day weeks. We actually ran out of money, just like Argentina. The IMF had to rescue us in 1976. But actually, the UK stock market, full of these very boring and dull companies, because they're capital intensive, cash compounding works really well when capital is short, the UK market was pretty much the best in the world. And it was still very boring companies, probably a little bit more boring in those days. So actually, I think the UK market is going to outperform. It's disgustingly cheap. We know that. I could have said that 5 and 10 years ago. But most particularly, beyond globalisation, the politics is coming through. It's making a bigger and bigger difference. And so really, actually, it's not just about the UK outperforming. And don't get me wrong, it's not the UK economy I'm talking about. I'm talking about the UK stock market. But on top of that, of course, beyond globalisation, we've had too much bigness during globalisation. We need more smallness. It just so happens the UK market is dominant, not just in capital-intensive income compounders at the top, but most particularly as you move down the market cap range, yes, you can get some mid-cap, but nearly unique in the world, you can get into the smaller micro-cap. And the smaller the company, the better the performance. They're standing on crazily low valuations. If you take since the end of 2021, effectively, small caps have had a surge of sellers. There aren't many buyers. Effectively, the AIM market, the FTSE AIM market, has underperformed the FTSE 100 by 60 or 65%. It's just amazing. I'm more bullish now than I've been for 30 years. Not just for the UK stock market, but most particularly for small micro. I think we're sitting on a gold mine. We just don't happen to know it. And the advantage of these companies isn't just that they survive, some of them succeed. The tougher it gets, the more opportunity to buy acquisitions. We heard from George about Next. Actually, it may have been Charlie. Next is a brilliant business. They've just bought some companies from receivership. It's great buying them from receivership. You pay very little money. So Made.com or whatever, they paid 3.2 or 3.4 million for. That was a business which had been valued at, say, 500 or 600 million, probably only worth 300 now. If you're 9 billion market cap, it's great to make an acquisition adding 300 million. Great stuff. But just think about a £300 million company doing the same deal. The uplift is so great, so much greater. And if you're a £30 million company, OK, you may need to raise 30 or 50 million to actually do the deal. But the upside is transformational to your profits. That's what happened in the 70s. The small cap sector was the best performing part of the best performing market in the world. That's what I think is coming. We're sitting on companies which are disgustingly cheap, which could start with the option value, that upside option value, to come through. Another example of a company which has already succeeded, I think will continue to succeed, a company called U Group. You probably don't know it. It's a utility company. It's a bit like British Gas. It's a bit like E.ON, except it's tiny. It just serves the corporate sector. It did have a wobble. Share price went down to 18 million market cap. This was in 2020 with the wobble in the market. This year it's just finished. It's got 80 million cash in the balance sheet, no debt. The forecasts are that it'll have 110 or 111 million of cash at the end of this year it's just started. About 141, according to the analysts. I think they're too low. I may be wrong. So the share price isn't 18 million, okay, just so you know. The share price is about just over 200. It's gone up over tenfold. It's gone up twice as fast, actually, as Nvidia, just so you know. So you get this option value in small micro caps. They're just sitting out there. Go and do the work. You'll love it. Thank you very much, Lee.
Okay. Anyone got one question?
Go to Kevin, please.
Hi, Gervais. It seemed as if a lot of the selling in the market, in the small cap sector in particular, has been because of forced selling to satisfy redemptions.
That's exactly right.
Can you give us an indication of where you think that trend is heading at this point in time?
Yes, I mean, what we've seen really is capital follows returns. So what we've seen over the last 30 years, of course, is globalization. We've seen mega caps, more indexation that favors, as active funds are redeemed, passive funds are bought, you overweight. Or you put more capital into the large companies. So you get this mega cap trend. It's not just in the US, actually. You know, you can use European companies as well. You know, Novo Nordisk and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's a very significant trend. And people, you know, when you get a turn, people are slow to do the turn. So we've got the kind of clearing at the bottom of the market. So there's still a few people selling. Just about everyone internationally has come out of the UK. There's hardly any active managers. They might have a few Shell rather than, perhaps a US equivalent, perhaps Chevron or something. But most particularly, nearly everyone sold internationally. Local investors, they do have an overweight position in the UK, and they've been embarrassed. They've got a lot of scar tissue. They keep selling. So we are actually at that period where they keep selling. So what I'm looking for, actually, of course, is for even a slight reduction in selling, because I think at that stage we're on a hair's trigger. The market breaks out on the upside, just like Japan. And then the sellers just think, you know what, I'm going to hold back. I'm going to hold back just to see what happens. And when they hold back, of course, the market roofs it because they're not selling any longer. So you've got this unstable equilibrium. When is it going to finish? I was rather hoping the budget would actually bring in the ISA. It's only 5,000, but I was rather hoping they'd do it for the new tax year. We're into consultation. It'll be next year. So I think it'll just be takeovers which started. You know, we're starting to see almost one a day now. And that cash will come through. And as soon as those takeovers overwhelm the local sellers, then you get this hair trigger. Market breaks out on the upside. Sellers dry up, and we're on our way.
Brilliant. Brilliant reply. Thank you ever so much, Gervais. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Gervais Williams. Okay, my final guess, Stephen Yu, Bluewell Growth Fund. Audience is yours. Ladies and gents, round of applause for our man.
Thank you very much for staying until 4 p.m. now. So what I have got prepped is I want to share with you a little bit about my personal journey. So 20 years ago, I started my career at Hargreaves Lansdown, and at the time, I was involved picking fund managers. And at that time, obviously, that was between 2002 until 2007. And at the time, I have a lot of aspiration to become a UK fund manager, because I met up with many exceptional fund managers at the time in that period. And so in 2007, I got my opportunity to become a UK fund manager. So I was a UK fund manager picking mid to large cap companies in the UK for about 6 years until 2013. And I would say, fortunately, I've then moved on. And I've gone on to looking after covering global companies at a previous hedge fund, and since then have started Blue Whale Growth Fund, which is a global strategy that we have about two-thirds in the US and with very small exposure to the UK. So how would I categorize my journey or experience through then is I would think the world has moved on from my personal perspective. Of course, if that is not the case, I would think we would have many more companies that we invest into with the current strategy. There's a lot of things that have changed. I think people sitting in the UK don't recognize that. Not sure why, but people in the US would probably recognize that the world has moved on. And there's a lot to do with technology, with the cloud, with subscription, with the smartphone era, now with the Gen AI. And of course, if you look at the UK companies, that we don't have any of this, which is where the world is heading. And recently, I spoke to some journalists about the Britishizer, which obviously, to me, I mean, hopefully no one's going to quote me on this, is a rip-off for anyone who have an extra £5,000. Because if I think about this, going back to Charlie's comments, that if you just were to pick a typical company, which most people do, or you just buy the index tracker, so what I have got in terms of data point is since we started running the strategy back in September 17 until now, 6.5 years now, the FTSE 350 index total return, including all the dividends we invested, had delivered an annualized performance of about 4% per year. 4% a year. I mean, just imagine inflation. So that's 4% every year for the last 6.5 years. If you have invested in the global stock market, let's say iShares MSCI World Index, you would have got about probably 10% a year. About two-thirds of that is in the US. And if you have managed to invest into a fund, then we have done a few percent more. So we analyze about 14%. So what I was trying to say is when the tailwind is not, you don't have the tailwinds in terms of where the world is heading, it's a lot more difficult to deliver alpha. So if you ask me to try to deliver 14% per annum, picking UK company, I think that's impossible to do that because most companies don't give you that. It's just a lot more difficult. And the second point I want to make is like, what do we actually do? So I do agree with Charlie a lot that we focus into high quality businesses. So it doesn't matter where you find them, but where we have found most of our company are in the US. And I recall this narrative about 2.5 years ago when Microsoft market cap just surpassed $1.5 trillion about 2.5 years ago. There was loads of headline in the UK saying this is a bubble. How is it possible for Microsoft to be at $1.5 trillion is exactly the same size as the UK stock market, which we have a few thousand companies. That is a bubble. That is not right. Only about 2.5 years later, Microsoft is $3 trillion and still bigger than the UK stock market. The second time I've seen this narrative, as some of you might know, that we are a large backer of NVIDIA shares, which remains so. We have done very well on the back of that. And recently, I just saw a post on social media, also within the UK investor context, NVIDIA market cap just surpassed $2 trillion, which is the same size as the FTSE 350 index. That is a bubble. That is not right. People can make whatever comments they want to do, but the most important thing is you want to invest into a company that can make more money over time. You want to maximize the money-making opportunity through companies selling more of their products and services. Hopefully, they can dominate the world, which means that the TAM, they can sell more of their products, are bigger than we are than a company that are very limited to your own market. So we just ended up finding more of this company in the US, and I'm sure in the UK we have a few, but it's more difficult to do that. So I think with any investor in this room, I mean, you should start with a blank piece of paper, shouldn't have a home bias, and I would argue that every investors have a home bias. We have a home bias to the UK stock market because we all live here. The American would have a home bias to the American stock market, and they have done a lot better than us with the same home bias. So if you're in the wrong home, then your bias is going to cost you money. So that's my prep.
Ladies and gents, Stephen Yu. We've got an audience member who's got one question, please. Thank you very much. And then we're going to open it up. We've got maybe 1 minute, I think, to grab one more question from the floor to any of the panel. Just say who that question is to, please. Yeah, this one's for Stephen.
Yeah, thank you. My question is about, what do you think about MicroStrategy and Coinbase as well?
Can I answer this outside of this room? It's not, probably not
we'll
directly relevant.
This room.
Yeah,
okay.
Not relevant for this conversation.
So we've got another question for anybody else on the panel or a proper question for Stephen. Okay, just there. This one's for Stephen first, please.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for your presentation. My question is quite a simple one. What effect do you think quantitative easing has had on the outperformance of the US market? And do you think that that's likely to reverse now that the macroeconomic picture is changing?
That's a great question. So I shared in my presentation just in the room earlier that so we did not do well. Equally, our fund lost money in the first 6 months of 2022, and then we have recovered very strongly over the last 18 months, and we have managed to get above our high water mark. But what's important to remember was the drivers behind the level of underperformance in the first half of 2022, and of course that was due to quantitative tightening, not quantitative easing, interest rate going up at the same time. But when you look at the interest rate regime in July 2022, the interest rate has actually gone up until now. So if you look at the US 10-year in July 2022, it was at less than 3%. Now it's less than 4%. If you look at the real yield in the US, it was less than 1%. Now it's less than 2%. So the market or the company that we were exposed to, we have not actually got all the benefit or the how we suffer in the first 6 months. So if interest rate does come back down, if we do get quantitative easing, I think we might make back some of those underperformance at the time. But the outperformance that we deliver was purely down to the company fundamentals or earnings power of the likes of NVIDIA or Microsoft, etc.
Brilliant reply. Thank you very much, Stephen. Ladies and gents, Stephen Yu. Going to take, I think we've got plenty of time for one more question, maybe two, from the floor, and tell me who the question is to, please. Who we got? Anyone else going to stick their hands up so I can get them prepped for the next question after this one?
The US has been driven mainly by the Magnificent Seven, as they call it. What is the opinion of the panel about the other companies? Because really and truly, the market has grown by the Magnificent Seven only.
George, I'm picking on you. Yeah. How would you like to answer that, sir?
With words. I try with words.
Good man.
The Magnificent Seven, they're not expensive. That probably for me is the big reveal. They've got a great peg because they're delivering great earnings growth. I don't know if you sort of look through the NVIDIA results, but I mean, they are stellar from a numbers perspective. If you're looking outside of it, we've had the sort of valuation gap for quite a long time with America, and that remains a constant. But X, the Magnificent Seven, the US sort of general techie shares, they're more expensive than UK. So I don't know, let's say on an EV/EBITDA basis, UK is about 15. The Americans are about 22. But in that, you can get massive pockets. So the most expensive Americans, oddly enough, they're in the sort of the data analytics side rather than on the AI side. So stuff like Snowflake, JFrog from Database, MongoDB. So you can get very expensive ones out there.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, George. I've got some from Gervais to add on to that as well.
I was just going to add on to that really... It keeps changing, doesn't it? Have you noticed how, actually, it used to be called FANGs, and then it was FANGs Plus, and AA, and all the rest of it. I mean, if I just pick out the stocks which have been the top performers in my portfolio, they've done really well too, right? So I think there's a kind of narrowness there. And yes, the companies, they do go up, but boy, do they come down. I mean, Tesla was wonderful, but it's halved since 2 years ago, right? It's still part of the FANGs, the Magnificent Seven at the moment. And we're starting to see others coming under pressure now. We've started to see problems, not massive problems, but Google's coming off, Alphabet's coming under a bit of pressure for margin, et cetera. So they're fine at the moment. But I just think it's a fad.
Oh, interesting, interesting. We're going to take one question and then we're going to have to cut. Let's go there. Then we're going to call. Thank you ever so much for staying with us as well, ladies and gents. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for your
and
thoughts.
And who's the question to, please?
Actually, to all the panelists, maybe one sentence each. So if all of them could share one, their top idea for the next 3 years. And I understand everyone has constraints.
That's a question and a half, mate. You have to pay for that one. For charity.
But choose I can charity. Check their portfolios and
choose
see.
The charity you're going to donate some money to and I'll get them to answer.
Okay.
Stephen, do you want to go? One stock. It can be overseas. It doesn't have to be UK.
I probably still would back NVIDIA just to make it simple.
Okay.
Make it simple.
Very quickly. Gervais, one stock, UK. Go for it.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go Cyan Connode. It's a 30 million market cap. It's number one in Indian smart metering. And they're tendering for £1.1 billion worth of business at the moment.
Thank you very much. Charlie?
Tricky one stock.
Tricky.
I'll go for one that's had a really tough time, Croda, which is specialty chemicals. It's been hit by massive destocking. It's got a very, very interesting healthcare part of its business. It does drug delivery systems on new biological drugs that are coming. It's got very diverse positions across preclinical and clinical pipelines. Once those drugs come to market, it should do well, but you're looking at 2025 onwards for that. At the moment, it's still finding life a bit tough because those drugs haven't launched yet.
Thank you very much, Charlie. And yourself, George, just one
center,
stock?
Computer Centre
from George. Ladies and gents, that's my panel session. Thank you ever so much. You can find all of these individuals on the Investing Matters platform on Spotify, Apple, iTunes. They've all been interviewed before. Just find them on Spotify and go and listen to their previous interviews. Wonderful interviews, by the way. And there's another 60 others as well. So thank you very much. Take care. God bless you all.
Okay, so George, you've just been on the panel session. Wonderful presentation, sir. Shared some really great insights. Just give us a little recap of what we talked about, what you thought about the audience, the participation of all the other panels.
Vijay, I am still shaking. What an event. You had standing room only. I had no idea. And I wasn't full of my relatives. I was informed investors in the room who were looking for the story. Great illustration of where the market is right now. People are saying the market that's cheap. My concern, do we have enough underlying momentum? So where is the fusion between the fundamentals, the stuff is cheap, and the sentiment, let's get it moving. And everyone is waiting for that trigger point right now. We've had higher for longer from a macro side. That's led to lower for longer. But these move in sync. When one drops, the other pops.
Absolutely. So let me just ask you this additional question, if I may, Sir Bowl. What do you think would be the triggers to get the catalyst for the markets to stop being so undervalued, George? That's what you.
We had good earnings momentum, if you spot it. Numbers are coming in. You have your few howlers all of the time. So we will say at the start of a new technology cycle built around Gen AI. So there's lots to get excited about here. At the moment, it's the economy. It's what the macro is doing. And that's what we're looking for in terms of our trigger.
Fantastic, George. Thank you ever so much for your support. Thank you ever so much for being on the panel session.
Love it. Thank you very much, Peter.
Take care, mate. God bless you. So, Charlie, we just finished the panel session. Did you enjoy it? And what did you actually finish speaking about? And which bits of it did you enjoy?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very well-attended event, which is great. A great list of guests, Stephen Yu and Gervais Williams, and a really good lineup this year. So I really enjoyed it.
Including yourself, of course.
And yes, including us, that's the answer. I talked about the major UK sectors, my views on those sectors, why I believe that the long-term prospects of those sectors aren't necessarily great, but then hopefully put a bit of a positive spin on it at the end by mentioning a few UK names that I do actually like and I think are very good long-term prospects.
You mentioned one name in particular that seemed to get lots of people's attention regarding, I've not heard about that stock before. Beginning with C?
Somebody asked me at the end whether a stock that I think for the next 3 years. So I mentioned a company called Croda, which is a specialty chemicals company. And it's had a tough time, very tough time recently with destocking. So customers reducing inventories and with a weaker economy, but with hopefully better prospects looking forward.
Ali, produced a fantastic panel. Thank you ever so much for sharing your insights with me.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bless you. So, DeBase, we just finished the Investor Matters panel.
Can you just give us a recap of what you discussed, and did you enjoy the panel as well?
Well, I suppose what was more interesting than I expected was actually was the other panelists actually seem to be much more comfortable than assuming the current trend will continue. It may do. I'm certainly sort of saying I know it's going to end, but that's, you know, after, you know, globalization's been in place for so many years, now we're getting the fragmentation, the compromises of globalization, the politics is changing. To assume that the market trends are going to continue, I was very surprised that so many others were actually so comfortable just to assume the current trends continue. Clearly, you know, assuming something's going to change is also, you know, it doesn't, things don't always change. They don't change quite as quickly. So from that point of view, I can see my position is a lot easier for people to believe. But thankfulness, my valuations are lower. You can get individual small caps with an extraordinary option side upside. Which, you know, I'm talking about U Group, you know, we invested in that company 4 years ago, 2020. It's gone up twice as fast as NVIDIA. Most people just have no idea the option on upside on small microcap.
Indeed, we've had some significant takeovers as well, like as you spoke about historically. So that could be a potential catalyst for the market as well, do you think?
Yeah, we've had local sellers, and anything which overwhelms local sellers, takeovers, cash from the takeovers, will actually then possibly lead to the market actually starting to not just fall, but start to rise, small caps. Mm-hmm. And once you get that momentum, I think that will mean that the sellers, which have been dominant recently, will just pause for a moment. And I think that pause for a moment will actually accelerate the upside. My assumption is the UK FTSE 100 breaks out on the upside, just like Japan. I don't know whether 3 months or a bit longer. But the point is, that's where we are. It's on a hair trigger at the moment.
Yeah. There's a little bit of overconfidence in other markets now in comparison to the UK.
Well, not just that. The valuations of the UK, you know, having been out of fashion for 30 or 40 years, are standing on extraordinarily low valuations. I'm talking about FTSE 100. Clearly, small companies, the AIM market, has actually underperformed with the local sellers recently. So actually, it's standing on absurdly low valuations. It's a great place to start, to make money, to get involved in companies which are starting at absurdly low valuations. And of course, if they start to not just stop underperforming, but start outperforming, the turn can be quite considerable in terms of their price returns.
Brilliant. Bruce Williams, from the Enlighten Investors, thank you ever so much for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you very much.
Take care. So Steve, we've just completed the Investing Matters panel. You were there with three other fantastic guests. What did you actually deliver and speak about, and did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it very much, Peter. Thank you for the opportunity. I mentioned 2 points. I think the first point, some people might hate me for that, and
they won't hate the
Britishizer is probably a mistake. And if I look back at the return of the FTSE 350 index total return over the last 6.5 years, it has annualized at about 4% a year. So I think that could be probably the base case scenario in terms of UK equities is concerned. But secondly, I mentioned about home biases and what American investors has equally got the home biases, but they got the right market or the home to have that bias. And of course, if you look at the US stock market, it is analyzed at least double of that rate of what the UK market has delivered. And so for investors in the UK, we have a global mindset. We are smart, and we should just consider where you can find the best company rather than just focusing on a particular market.
So with regards to the UK market being undervalued, do you think the time will come eventually when there'll be a catalyst for the UK market in comparison to the sentiment super positive regarding elsewhere at the moment, especially UK, US tech, sorry?
I probably don't agree with that view that might be a time that UK equities would be in favor again. I think the way as a bottom-up stock pickers is we focus on companies. So if you ask me what are the scenarios that UK British companies are going to make a lot more money globally doing what they're doing today, because we're in a new world, I just cannot see that happening. And of course, you can have the valuation moving from a very low PE to maybe a slightly higher PE, and maybe people make money. But the point about the whole thing is probably it's not sustainable. You want the company to be able to deliver the earnings growth trajectory over the many years to come, and that earnings growth trajectory need to be sustainable. So once you get to a higher PE, that you're not selling, you're not taking profit, you're going to hold onto the share, you're probably going to invest more. And I just cannot see that happening within the UK stock market. But in some ways, I think there's a lot more M&A activities taking place now. And of course, that could provide a support. But there's so many companies, you probably need to spend some time to pick up which one might be the next target.
Fantastic reply. Stephen, thank you ever so much for joining us on the Investing Matters panel. Absolutely star. Take care. God bless you.
A very good afternoon to you, ladies and gents. And thank you ever so much for listening to this Investing Matters podcast. This special at the Master Investor Show was an absolute delight to record. We have such a stellar panel of guests of George O'Connor, Stephen Yu, Gervase Williams, and Charlie Huggins. Packed room, great questions. And as I said earlier, if you really enjoyed this podcast, please do give us some feedback. And please do go to YouTube, Spotify, or any of the platforms that you use to listen to the previous interviews you've done with these gents and all the others. And there's over 60 now. So please go and visit us on the platform of your choice and follow Investing Matters on LinkedIn or on Twitter/X, and also me on Twitter at Conquest3. And I want to say a big, big thank you to Tim Corcoran and the Master Investor Show team that really helped us put all this together. So thank you all to them, and also the Little Southeast team and the Investing Matters team. Until next time, take care and God bless you all.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Investing Matters. Be sure to check out the London Southeast website for free tools and info to research your next investment. You can also join in the conversation on our social media channels. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more content, including our CEO interviews. Catch you next time.